Morning. I'm very happy to be here. Preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good to see you all. It's been a few years since I've been here. So this is the first time I've been here face to face. And I just want to say to you, thank you. You have supported me and Lynn and I in our gospel outreach, which I do daily. And without that, we couldn't do it. So you have been faithfully supporting us. So I just want to say to you, it means a lot to us. It encourages us. And we're very grateful to you all. So thank you, thank you. All right. We'll read the scriptures now. The first verse we'll read is in 2 Samuel chapter 2. Chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Somebody please get me a great big thick book and so I can put it up here because I forgot to bring my platform. I always have a platform. Bring this up to my eye. My eyes are going. So anyway, I'll hold it up here. 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 26. Words of David. Thank you so much. That's great. I think that's all right. That's all right. I can see now. The words of David, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. The second reading is, oh, look at that. Wow. Thank you. I feel comfortable now. There. And the second reading is in 5 of Romans. Verse number 8, for God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The next reading is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the final reading is in Jeremiah, chapter 31, and verse number 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So as you probably gathered, we're going to talk about God's love for us as sinners, unlovable sinners we are, but God's love. There was the volcano history. You may have heard of it, 79 AD. It was Mount Vesuvius in Greece, I think. Pompeii was covered in the molten lava. Instantly, it came so fast, people were encased in it, and it's an amazing because their very countenances were seen after they dug down of the people. And there was a 5-year-old boy, the French were excavating, and he's reaching out to somebody. And they said, it looks like he's appealing to somebody. So they dug in the direction of where he was reaching, and they found his mother. And her arms were so stretched as well. And they never got together. The lava came so fast that they both died instantly at the same time. When the gospel is preached, right now, God's arms of love are being extended to you. If you don't know him as your Savior, if you've never come to him and surrendered your life to him, and know him as your Lord of your life, Savior from sin, His arms of love are being extended to you right now, right now. And he's saying, come unto me. Would you come unto me? Would you trust me? You're laboring, heavy laden about life itself. I promise I will give you rest. And he will give you rest. He outstretched his arms on Calvary. He had no sins of his own, but he took our sins on Calvary. And they nailed him. Spikes to the cross. He became a sacrifice for sin. In love he did that. He had no sins. It was for our sins. And it was for your sins that he did that. So he's calling you this morning if you don't know him. Only you know if you know him. And people can say, oh, I know him. I've talked to many. I talk to people every day. I talk to people. That's my life. I know him. I have a few questions. No, you don't know him. Do you know him? You have to know him. And in order to know him, you have to come to him as a sinner. And don't want your sin anymore. No, I don't want my sin anymore. I don't want to live for me anymore. Doing my will. Things that are right in my own eyes. President Lincoln of the North, the USA, he fought with the South to free the slaves, and he did that. And they became the United States of America. He's negotiating it. So they thought, Jackson did, the President Jackson of the South, and he's saying to President Lincoln, well, can we keep the state? And President Abraham said, no. Well, can we keep the state? He said, no. He's negotiating. So he goes on to say, well, can we? President Lincoln slammed his hand down the table. He said, gentlemen, this government must have all. And I will just say to you this morning, repentance toward God is giving your, let your will to God be given. He must have all of you, all of you. You surrender your life to him, your will to him. Not my will, Lord, not my will. I don't want to do my will. I don't want my sin anymore. I want to live for you. Let your will to God be given. His full surrender. May he bless you this morning. Open your eyes of understanding to see. If you came in this place in here not knowing him, in your sins on the road to hell, the reality of hell, you can leave this place rejoicing in knowing Christ as Lord and Savior, your personal Savior. God's love. We read in 2 Samuel 1:26 of the love, very pleasant hast thou been unto me, says to Jonathan, David. These are two Christian men, and they both love God, and they live for God, especially David. We all know about King David. All the psalms he wrote, his life, the greatest king Israel ever had. And he says, thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. You know, God's love to us, I call it unparalleled love. Train tracks are parallel. They always run together parallel. God's love is unparalleled. There is no love story that could ever be told down here under the sun that can run parallel with God's love for you. May he speak to your heart this morning. He loves you so. How he loves you. All your life he's been calling you to himself. Put an end to your not knowing why I'm here, where am I going, your sorrows and so on. He wants to, your life will fall into place this morning. He loves you. The gospel is all about love. I'm not going to take anything away from you. The word love, it's a tenderness and fullness of affection. Is used of God and is unspeakable love for his people. This is a love. They love it. These are two Christian men and they love one another with God's love, not human love. That's why it's a passing love of women. It's a love like nobody else's love. No human can love like this. We're to love one another with a pure heart fervently. We as brethren, the same way, because we have God's love in us, and that's how we love. Wonderful. It's extraordinary love. It's distinguished love. It's unusual love. Beyond human comprehension is this love that God loves you. passing the love of women, passing all human love down here, to cross over and go beyond or further, to go beyond and further on unparalleled love is what was displayed at the cross at Calvary. Thomas Kelly wrote, "His is love, his love unbounded, without measure, without end. Human thought is here confounded. 'Tis too vast to comprehend." And it is indeed. There's a very famous story in Scotland. His name is Alex Russell. You can Google it if you want to. Birkenhead. He was a sailor on a ship. And it was 1852, long time ago. Alex Russell knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he knew where he was going in eternity, as David did. "When I die, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, my Savior, my Shepherd, my Savior, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And this Birkenhead was having a special day, a celebration day off the coast of Simon's Bay, off Scotland. And there was an explosion in the ship. Now all the wives are there and the children are there. And the ship's going down immediately. The captain knew that. And they had lifeboats, so they said women and children first, of course. And they all got in, and they filled the lifeboats. Now there's no room for the men, the sailors. He assigned one man to each boat to row away to shore. It wasn't too far away. What a sad day that was. And those men, looking at their wives for the last time, looking at their children, looking at their daddy for the last time. And Alex Russell's rowing the boat away. And there was a man in the water swimming. And he came near the boat, and he looked up at Alex Russell with like pleading in his eyes, can I get in the boat? Is there safety? But he couldn't, because they filled the capacity, would turn the boat over, they all drown. Then behind him, he heard a cry. "My husband, that's my husband." And then he heard little voices say, "Daddy, that's my daddy," in the water. Without saying anything, he didn't wait very long. He lowered himself into the water. This is a famous story in Scotland. And he helped that man in the boat to take his place. Alex Russell couldn't swim, and he sank beneath the waves to save that man and reunite him with his wife and his children. That's quite a love story, because he knew where he was going. He knew. See, salvation is, I know where I'm going. I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going. Absent from my body, death is separation. You leave your body and present with the Lord. In that moment of time, Alex Russell left his body and he was present with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christ did for you on the cross. You see what he did on the cross for you? For you. To save you from your sins. The penalty of your sins is Gehenna. Eternal prison house. Can you imagine you going there? My friend, understand something. That's where you're going. You're going there if you don't choose Christ. You choose Christ as your Savior. You choose heaven. You don't choose Christ. You choose hell. God sends nobody to hell. People will be in hell because they chose hell. Now may this morning, may God speak to your heart. May you turn in your heart from going your own way, my way. No, not your way. Not your way. God's way. And may you receive him. Humble yourself before him. You come as a sinner. We're all sinners, for by grace are ye saved. Here is God. It says, God is love, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die, to lay down his life through him that we might live through him. Live through him. Eternal life. But down here, it's abundant life. Abundant life to really live. And I know you see it in the faces of the Christians. You see it. You see Christ. He'll give that to you. No more laboring, heavy laden, disappointed. Why am I here? Where am I going? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Now you understand. Your life just falls right into place. And when you come to him who loves you so, God is love. It's unparalleled love. And also, it's unmerited love. We don't deserve this love. We do not deserve this love. But God commandeth or established, he showed his love to us, Calvary Hill, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. You understand what you are in God's sight? You're a sinner, my friend. I am the door, he said, by me, if any man come unto me, he'll be saved, come through this door. But above that door, it says sinners only. May God open your eyes of understanding this morning. You're no different than anybody else in this world. We sin worse than others. We compare ourselves, feel pretty good. God says, no, don't do that. The standard's my son. And we sin, all of us, and we fall short of the glory of God, which is Christ. And we don't deserve this love. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But Christ died for the ungodly. When we were enemies, Christ died for us in love. May you understand, my friend, God is love. That's what he is. He's many, many things. Wonderful. But my favorite is that one. God is love. He's pure love. As Christians said, you dwell in love. You dwell in love now in your life. And when you dwell there, you dwell with God. Because God is love. And we love him because he first loved us. Grace, for by grace are ye saved through. What is grace? Grace is receiving something we don't deserve. That's what grace is. People think I work my way to heaven. You know, we can't work our way to heaven. You can't do that. It's unmerited favor. Helpless sinner. I say, Lord, I'm nothing but a sinful man, sinful woman. I don't want to be that anymore. I want to be a man of God, woman of God. And I know that I cannot make myself good enough for heaven. I can't. But I know, Lord, you want me in heaven. You'll change me and give me grace to live a life pleasing to you. But I understand you died for all my sins. He died for all your sins. All your sins. He put them away. He put them away. The blood of Jesus Christ is uncleanses us from all sin. All sins gone. Perfect standing with God now. Yesterday's sins, today's sins, and the ones that haven't even committed yet are all under the blood. And do we deserve that love? No, we don't. We don't deserve that love. Nothing we could do. I think a mother's husband died. She, a long time ago, USA, small little wee town. She had two boys, maybe 11 and 12. She worked every day. It was springtime. She's going to work, and the boys say, can we go fishing today, Mommy? She said, no. The river's high. It's flowing fast, and the banks are slippery. And you may slip in the water and drown. No. You wait for a few weeks, and you can go fishing. Fishing all summer. It's all right. So she goes to work, and boys will be boys. So one boy says to the other boy, well, she'll never know. So they get dressed, put their boots on, and off they go with their fishing rods. And just exactly as she said, happened. And one boy was going down. He grabbed out for anything, grabbed his brother's boot, and they both went in that water. This is a true story. A young man was standing there watching. He saw that. He's the only son of a father whose wife had died. He immediately dove in the water. He's an athletic man. And he grabbed both those boys and he pushed them up to the, up the bank, like, got a hold of something. But in so doing, he expended all his strength. He had no more strength left. And he drowned. Now the funeral. Small little town. Everybody's there at the funeral parlor. Everybody that lived there. The two boys are not in there. They're outside. Committal service, graveyard. The two boys are standing afar off. They hadn't seen the fathers as this happened. And after the committal service, he knew they were there. He turned around and saw them. And the whole crowd is silent as he walked towards them. And they're terrified. Their hearts are just pounding. And he got down on his knees when he got there. And he pulled them both in. And he said, "Boys, you know, your disobedience caused the death of my son. But I want you to know something. I know you didn't mean for that to happen. It was an accident. And I forgive you. I forgive you." And he gave them both a kiss on the cheek. Our disobedience put Christ on the cross. And God says, now, I put my arms out to you. And I want you to come. Come to me now. Let me embrace you. And I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you every sin. Even though your sins put him on the cross, God is love. He'll always be love. You have no idea how God is love and how he loves you personally. He knew your name before the mother gave it to the nurse. All your life calling you. May he bless you today. Unparalleled love. Unmistakable, unmerited love. Unmerited. We don't deserve it. And thirdly, it's unmistakable love, isn't it? For God so loved the world. You can say that. Words are okay. Doesn't stop there, does it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Christ came down from the glory and became a man and lived before him perfectly. He had no will of his own. He said, "I do always those things that please him." He never sinned once, holy and harmless and undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He did no sin. He knew no sin. And in him was no sin. And yet he went to the cross. And the Father punished him, laid your sins on him in the darkness, my sins. See, for my friend, he wants you to understand this, what he did for you. Don't let it be in vain in your life. This morning he's calling you. Simply come to him, bow your head. Pray, "Lord, I'm all done. Psalm 38, I'm sorry for my sin, Lord, I'm ready to halt. I'm ready to halt now. I know what you want from me." I tell people all the time what he wants. He wants you. He wants you. All of you. Full surrender. Give yourself to him. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." God now commandeth all men everywhere. You must repent, my friend. Change your mind. And say, "God, I take sides with you against myself. I felt I was okay." No, you're not okay. Has to be a time in my life when I come to him in full surrender of my life to him. And I give myself to him. May it be this morning you do that. He hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. Yes, he does. So say you go home from this meeting, you get down on your knees by your bedside, and you say, "Lord, Lord God, thank you, thank you. I see now what you did for me. You love me, you love me." So by faith, only by faith, I believe what God said. I believe what God said. He'll receive you. Unmistakable love. And no, whosoever, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody, anywhere, all over the world, whosoever is you, my friend, Put your name there. He loves you. Knows where you live. Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide your house. He knew his name. Zacchaeus, what a day for Zacchaeus. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And while he's walking towards Jericho, Zacchaeus is running to the tree. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Gets to the tree, want to miss him. And Jesus knew he was going to be there. And looked up into the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, I know you're seeking me. You want to know me. Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. For today, I must abide at your house. He knows your name. He knows where you live. And he loves you so. He's saying, you come down from the throne of your heart. Step down and crown him Lord of my life. Lord of my life. Whosoever is you, anybody. There was a preacher in London. He had, I think, about 300 children there, and he's preaching to them. This is back in the 1800s, I think, and he's trying to impress upon them, whosoever, anybody. So at the end, when he was all done, he took sixpence, put it on the pulpit, and he said, now, whosoever wants this sixpence, you come up here and take it. It's for you. And he waited. And nobody moved. They didn't get it. You get this morning. Whosoever, my friend, is you, whosoever believeth on him is born again, saved. But finally, one boy in the very back stood up and he walks up. He's a timid little boy. He's very nervous. And as he approached the preacher, his hands trembling a little bit. And he reached up and he grabbed the sixpence. He put it in his pocket. He turned around to go. And the preacher said, just a minute, boy. So he turns around now. He's really trembling now. He said, what's your name? He said, my name is Cecil Smithers, sir. Well, I didn't say Cecil Smithers could have this sixpence. He said, no, you didn't, sir. But you said, whosoever. And I understand what you were teaching us. Whosoever's me. So that sixpence was for me. He turned around, walked back to his seat. Whosoever's you is for you. Take it. The gift of God, eternal life. Everlasting life. What do you do to make a gift yours? What do you do? Well, you believe it's for you. It's your birthday. Your name's on it. You take it, open it, and enjoy it. God, I have a gift for you, a gift. Nothing to do. But surrender your life to me and receive that gift being offered to you. It's unmistakable love. We perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. It's to have a knowledge of what happened at Calvary that produces emotion and affection of your mind. May God get through to you this morning. That's what's going on right now. God, never mind me. I'm only a messenger, that's all that I am. A sinner saved by grace, that's all that I am. Not what I say. Not what I believe or my opinion. Never, never. I say to you, thus saith the Lord. And I say it confidently. He loves you. He's calling you right now. All you have to do is by faith, I believe you, God. I believe you. For the first time in my life, I'll believe what you say. And I'll come. I'll give myself to you. I know you'll receive me. It's unmistakable love. You can't mistake that love. He died for you on the cross. They all saw it. How bloody mess he was. They couldn't even recognize his face. They beat him so many times. The hatred of man was poured out on him. Blood flowing. The spikes through his hands and feet. Those soldiers never forgot that man. Most men would resist and cry for mercy. But not our Savior, no. They probably couldn't even look at his eyes of love. He loved them. Even as the nails were going into him, but he loved them. He didn't resist. Willingly laid his arms out and his fingers and allowed that to happen to him. and it was for you, it was for me. Why? If it wasn't necessary for Christ to die, well, then why would God ever send him to die? Why would he ever die? You see, it's necessary. My friend, he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way. That's love. It's unmistakable love. I was having meetings a long time ago. I've been doing this for 40 years. A little more now than I did then. Telling people about Christ. Can't help myself. We've got to do it. Hey, every day I go out, everybody I see. No matter where I am, may I leave you something to read from God's Word, the Bible. It's God's love for you. And their hand goes out, and they take it, and they read it. I'm giving you the gospel today. Same message. That's for God so loved the world, unmistakable love, that he gave his son for you. Didn't just say, it's easy to say I love you. I came home from having meetings. I think I must have been gone at least 2 weeks. I was with Harold Smith. Remember Harold Smith? And he's full of energy. And we get up early in the morning. We go visiting house to house all morning, giving invitations. I would have lunch somewhere. All afternoon, house to house, visiting. Then we go for supper somewhere. Then we go preach the gospel. And then up Bible reading till 1 a.m. in the morning or so. And the days went on. And I said, well, I got to call my wife. Our children were only four small children. She's home. And you know what happened? The time went by. I never did. I meant to. I said, it's too late now. And then we're busy. I can't call now. So the meeting came to a close, and I came in the kitchen. And I put my suitcase down, and I hugged my wife, and I kissed her. And I said, I love you. I never forget what she said. She said, really? I said, yes, really? Then she said, if you love me, then why didn't you call me once the whole time you were gone to see what I was doing with our four children? Was that a valid question? Yes, it was a very valid question, wasn't it? If I love you, I mean, don't pay attention to me. You don't call me. I tell you what, I call her now all the time. I call her. I text her all the time. Yes. Because I do love her. So we show love. God says, I showed my love to you. I love you. I love you. The very famous story again in Scotland, a woman got off the train. She was traveling on this train in the wintertime, freezing cold. Snowing. All of a sudden, it started snowing hard. She knew all the villages. They call the village's name. Train stopped. People get off. So they called the village before her village. So she says, next village is mine. Had a baby in her arms. And the train stopped. She said, well, they must have forgotten to announce it. So she got off the train. But it wasn't her village. They just stopped for a moment to check something. And the train went on, and she was left standing there. And she knew, I'm in trouble with my baby. So she tries to make her way home in the snow, and it's getting cold and cold. She knows she's not going to make it. And she found a rock. This is a very famous true story in Scotland. Had a crevice in the rock. So she shoved a little baby in there. Had a shawl around it. Took all her clothes off and wrapped that baby up. And then she wedged her body in the crevice of that rock. And of course, she froze to death. When they found her the next day, the search party, they moved her body. They heard a cry. And inside was that boy, safe and sound. That's what Christ did for us. Yes, unmistakable. Did she love that boy? It's unmistakable love, isn't it? Do you see Christ, how he loves you? It's unmistakable. It was for you. A preacher's preaching. He's preaching this gospel preacher years later. And he told this story to illustrate what Christ did. At the end of the meeting, a young soldier walks up in a uniform. And he says, sir, I am that mother's son. And although I've never forgotten her love for me, I must say I've forgotten his love for me. I've forgotten how much he loves me. But no more, no more. I've already received him as my Lord, my Savior from sin. You see how he loves you? It's unmistakable love. May you receive him this morning. Unparalleled love, unmerited love, unmistakable love, and finally it's unending love. It's an unending love. He'll never stop loving you. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That's what he said to Jeremiah. Nothing is able to separate a Christian from the love of God that's in Christ. Nothing. He'll always love you. Doesn't depend on what you do. He'll love you. Every day you wake up, his compassions fail not. They're new unto me every morning. He loves me, and you'll know it. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Married a young man a few years ago. She only professed to be saved, I don't know, not very long, and they got married. I don't think she was saved. Before their family and friends, you know, unto death do us part. And then 2 years later, she just says to him, I don't love you anymore. And away she goes. God says, no, no, that's human love. I don't love like that. You come into my family. I love you, and I promise you something. I'll never, never, under any circumstances, big double negative in the Greek, cast you out of my family. Never. You'll never perish. I will love you to the end. All through your life, your confidence every day. That's why David could say, I fear no evil about death. I saw a sticker in the back of a car, a big heart with wings on the side of it. What's the driver saying? I used to love you. Bye-bye. God will never say bye-bye to you. Never cast you out. I will never, ever cast you out of my family. Unparalleled love. It's unmerited love. Just receive that gift he's offering you this morning. Unmistakable love. And this unending love. A Christian man, with this all close, he had a son. I'm not sure if the son was a believer or not, but the son had a problem with drinking. I guess some men do. They start to drink, and then they go in a binge. They can't stop. And that would happen to his son once in a while. He wouldn't even see him for a week, 2 weeks. But the son always came home, and he was always very sorry. He said, Dad, I'm sorry. I know I messed up again. The father always, always put his arms around him and said, Son, it's all right. I know you're sorry. And I know I love you. Your room's upstairs. He says, you will have to go upstairs. Have a bath. Come on down. We'll have dinner together. This went on for a number of years. And one day his neighbor's talking to him. He says, how are you getting on with that boy of yours? He said, well, I haven't seen him for 10 days. I don't know. His neighbor said, if he was my son, I'd kick him out. He said, well, if he was your son, I'd kick him out too. But he's not your son. He's my son. He's my son. And I will never, never put him on my family. So are you his son? Are you his daughter? You come out now from among them, this world. Come unto me, I'll receive you. I'll be your father. You'll be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. May he bless his word to your heart. May he love you so. May he bless his word to your heart. We'll pray, Father, we are grateful that we have this wonderful message. Father, a simple message. Open the eyes of understanding, Father, of anybody here this morning. May they understand, Father, they need to turn from going their own way in life, Father, to going your way. Choose righteousness and holiness, and, Father, be forgiven. that receive that forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ, reign over me. Lord of my life, Savior from sin. So, Father, we understand the salvations of the Lord. All we can do is give this message out, Father. So we've done that this morning, and we pray collectively as God, your people, that you'd bless this word, Father, to someone's heart here, Father, and may they understand and come to the end of themselves, Father, and receive your Son. So we thank you, Father, in that worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.